إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue with the review of the topic, the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah in uniting the Ummah by Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. In that which we read previously in the last 2 days, the Shaykh mentioned first and foremost the importance of this topic and the grave danger of allowing the splitting, dividing, separating of the Ummah, differing, that this is a problem of the utmost severity and that every Muslim should be concerned about it. However, when we look around us, we find that there are many people and many groups that have offered opinions and views and solutions as to how to solve this problem. So the intelligent and wise Muslim knows that the solution to every problem is in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Yani in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sharia of Allah, in the Quran and sunnah. And therefore, yani, whoever wants to resolve this problem, whoever wants to solve this dilemma, then the solution should be searched for in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he mentioned a number of points concerning the fact that Allah decreed in His universal will, al-irada, al-qawniyah, that this splitting and division and differing would take place. However, likewise, in that which Allah has legislated, in His irada al-shara'iyya, in that which Allah loves, we know for sure that splitting and dividing and differing is not from that which is pleasing to Allah, nor that which is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us not to be a part of the problem, rather to be a part of the solution to the problem. So the Shaykh has mentioned a number of solutions that are from the Quran and Sunnah, and he based this discussion of the solutions, he based it upon three ayah from Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th Surah of the Quran, ayat 30, 31 and 32. And these ayats contain the mention of the problem itself, the mention of the problem, and that this is something which is evil. And the ayat also mentioned, as the Shaykh said, the solution to the problem, or a number of very important and beneficial solutions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayats describe the mushrikeen, yani the pagan disbelievers, as those who farraku deenahum wa kanu shi'an, that they are those who separated and divided their deen, and they were groups and parties and sects. كل حزب بما لديهم فارحون, every sect and every group being pleased with that which is with them. So from amongst the solutions to this problem, we mentioned two of them yesterday, which come from the beginning of this ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَقِمْ وَجَهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا, that is to set your face, to direct your face upright towards the deen of Allah, yani submitting, complying completely and totally with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, as a hanif, yani as a person who is inclined towards tawheed and يعني turning away from everything other than that. So the Shaykh mentioned this as one of the most important solutions to the problem, that is the establishment of the deen of Allah, being in total compliance and submission to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed as Islam, which includes yani all of the levels of the deen of Allah, Islam and Iman and Ihsan. And after this, the Shaykh mentioned the second solution, which is in the end of the first ayah mentioned here, yani the 30th ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Yani this way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being as their natural disposition upon it, that is the natural disposition of tawheed, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that this is the upright deen, but most of the people do not know it. Most of the people don't have knowledge of this. So this is the second solution that the Shaykh mentioned, that is having knowledge of the deen of Allah, yani studying the book of Allah. And this knowledge that is referred to here as a solution to the problem, it is none other than that which is contained in the Quran and in the Sunnah as it was understood by the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the generations that followed them from amongst the Tabi'un and the Atba' Tabi'in, the Salaf As-Sali, the righteous predecessors. And the Shaykh also mentioned from Surah An-Nisa, yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُ, that if you differ about anything, refer back to Allah and His Messenger, if indeed you believe in Allah in the last day. And this is a clear indication that differing among the people is resolved by going back to the Qur'an and Sunnah. But how can we go back to the Qur'an and Sunnah unless we have knowledge of the Qur'an and Sunnah and proper understanding? And finally, the Shaykh, and what we read yesterday, mentioned the fact that how can the Muslims be united? How can the people come together and be in agreement if there are amongst us those who follow their desires, those who are following innovations that have been invented in the deen, those who give preference to their intellect over the Qur'an and Sunnah? And the Shaykh mentioned some things concerning this. From amongst the important things that he mentioned concerning this is that some of the scholars say that these people who give preference to their intellect over the Qur'an and Sunnah, that it would be more right for them, rather than to say Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, that I bear witness that Muhammad the Messenger of Allah, it would be more right for them to say Ashhadu anna Aqli Rasulullah, that my intellect is really the Messenger of Allah, because that's what they submit to, and that is what they surrender to, and that is what they give preference to. And here the Shaykh actually mentions a number of sayings from amongst the scholars, the imams of the people of Sunnah, in refutation against the intellectuals, yani who give preference and precedence to their intellect over that which Allah has revealed in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Yani those people who believe that it's more important and it is right and proper that they follow that which their intellect directs them to, rather than to follow the Quran and Sunnah. And from amongst them are people like, from the modern day people, Abu Ala al-Mawdudi, the famous, though ignorant, leader of one of the biggest groups of Muslims in the world, that is Al-Jama'ah Islamiyah, in India and Pakistan and Bangladesh. And in America, they are called the Islamic Society of North America. And this is a man who stated clearly in his explanation of the Quran that a hadith that is agreed upon as being sahih by Al-Bukhari and Muslim is rejected because it doesn't make sense to our minds and our intellect doesn't accept it. So even though it is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, a statement of reality that's agreed upon by the greatest scholars of hadith that is sahih, he said, our mind, our intellect can't accept this. So these kind of people, and there are plenty of them, there's no shortage of them, these are the people that the Shaykh is referring to here, who give preference to their intellect, what their mind directs them to, over the Quran and the Sunnah. And there are many examples. From amongst them, he says the hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ said that Sulaiman ﷺ had sexual relations with his slaves, slave women, 70 or 80 or 90 of them in one night. Said this is impossible, our mind cannot accept this. Even though it is a fact that the Prophet ﷺ clearly stated that this did happen. But intellectually, yani to their minds, it doesn't make sense, doesn't matter. I mean, how would the Prophet ﷺ have known this except by revelation? He wasn't living in the time of Sulaiman, but it is from that which Allah has revealed to him. And as we know, yani the revelation consists of two parts, that is, that which is revealed directly in the Quran, and that which yani was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ that's not part of the Quran, that is, from the Sunnah. And both of these are revelation, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيُّهَا, that the Prophet ﷺ doesn't speak based upon his desires. Rather, what he says, it is revelation, wahi, yuha, that has been revealed to him. So his statement about the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam is not something that he just made up. Rather, it is wahi, revelation, yuha, that is revealed to him. And these people say, well, we reject it because whatever has been revealed to him, it's not in agreement with our mind, our intellect, it's not logical, we do not accept it. So here today we want to read some of the statements of the scholars of Sunnah in refutation of the intellectuals, the Aqliyun, the people who worship the Aql, who follow the Aql, who submit and surrender to their intellect, even if it is contrary to what Allah has revealed in the Quran and Sunnah. So the Shaykh says, to clarify the despicable nature of this statement and its corruption, yani the statement of those who say that our intellect has more right to be followed, has precedence and preference over the Quran and Sunnah. And indeed, this kind of statement and the statements of the people similar to this is despicable, disgusting, abhorrent. Na'am. To clarify the despicable nature of this statement and its corruption, it is said to these people, whose intellect takes precedence? Yani whose intellect should we follow? If the intellect should be followed over the Quran and Sunnah, whose intellect? Yani different people, the intellect of different people will lead them to different things. So whose intellect should be given preference? Whose intellect is the deciding scale? Or rather, it should read, whose intellect should be trusted or relied upon, or depended upon? If it is said, the intellect of Zayd, for example, if they say we should follow the intellect of Zayd, maybe he's the smartest guy amongst them, then perhaps Amr will come along and be stronger than him in argumentation, and has more logical or eloquent speech than him. And if they decide to follow Zayd, so what if somebody else comes along, Amr, or anybody else, who is stronger than him in arguing, who is able to speak more eloquent than him, and to give yani speech that appears to be more logical than him. So then what? So if the people were made to rely upon the intellects of people, then their deen would be lost and be in disarray. This is because the intellects are mutafawita. Yani they vary in terms of their excellence. Some people's intellect is stronger than the others. They are not the same. And as a result of that, the opinions that the people hold also differ. Due to this, Mutarrif ibn As-Sikhir, rahimahullah, he said, لو كانت الأهواء واحدا لقال القائل لعل الحق فيه. Yani, if the ahwa, the desires of the people, were one, that they were all inclined to the same, yani, deviation that their desires lead them to. If they were all one, perhaps someone might say, لَعَلَّ الْحَقْ فِيهِ. Yani, if they had all agreed on what their desires direct them to, or their intellect direct them to, perhaps somebody might say, it's possible then that the truth might be with them if they were all in agreement. فَلَمَّا تَشَعَّبَتْ وَتَفَرَّقَتْ عَرَفَ كُلُّ ذِي أَقْلٍ أَنَّ الْحَقِّ لَا يَتَفَرَّقُ. But when we found that their opinions and their views were scattered and divergent, كُلُّ ذِي أَقْلٍ, every person that has any sense would know then that the truth is not divergent, yani that the truth is one. So from this we know then that if these people follow their desires and they follow their intellect, we see that they have different views and different opinions and different ways of expressing their deen. And therefore, in fact, they are that's why they are sects and parties and groups, all of them differing with one another. Ishaq ibn Isa, rahimahullah, narrated regarding Malik, that is Imam Malik, rahimahullah, that Malik ibn Anas used to criticize argumentation, yani jidal in the deen. And he would say, أَكُلَّمَا جَاءَنَا رَجُلٌ أَجْدَلُ مِنْ رَجُلٍ تَرَقْنَا مَا نَزَلَ بِهِ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لِجَدَلِهِ. Yani, is it that whenever there comes to us a man who is more skilled in argumentation, in disputation, than another man, if every time one who comes who is more skilled, will we leave that which Jibril descended with to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the sake of his argumentation? Yani, every time a person comes who's able to argue better than the last guy, then we will follow him? In another report from Ma'an ibn Isa, it mentions one day Imam Malik, rahimahullah, departed from the masjid, being supported by my hand. And a man who was called Abul Juwayriya, who was accused of Al-Irja. And it says here who was afflicted with Al-Irja. But actually the meaning of what is narrated here is he was accused of being a Murji'. Yani, he was accused of being from the people who claim that actions are not a part of Iman. And we know that the people of Sunnah have made it crystal clear that Iman is not only conviction in the heart and speech on the tongue, but it's also actions. So Iman increases by doing good deeds, acts of obedience to Allah, and Iman decreases by committing sins. So these people, the Murji'a, they claim that actions are not a part of Iman. And this man was accused of having this deviant idea. So he came to Imam Malik and he said, Ya Abdullah, father of Abdullah. That was his kunya, Imam Malik's kunya. Listen to me. I wish to speak to you regarding it and debate you regarding my opinion. Or rather, he said, listen to me, listen to something from me. أُكَلِّمُكَ بِهِ, I want to speak to you about it. وَأُحَاجُّكَ, and argue and dispute with you about it. وَأُخْبِرُكَ بِرَأْيِ, and inform you of my opinion. And Imam Malik said to him, and if you should defeat me, yani in this argument, on this dispute concerning this matter, if we have a debate and you should defeat me, the man said, if I defeat you, then you will follow me. Imam Malik said to him, and what if another man comes along and speaks to us and he defeats both of us? He said, then we will follow him. Allahu Akbar. Every day they have a new religion. And whoever comes with the strongest argument, they will be changing their religion daily. Imam Malik said to him, O slave of Allah, Ya Abdullah, Ba'ath Allahu Azza wa Jalla Muhammadan bidinin wahid. وَأَرَاكَ تَتَنَقَّلُ, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with one religion, yet I see you to be fluctuating, yani changing, turning from one religion to another. And this is because instead of following the revelation, which is yani constant, They will rather follow the opinions of everyone who comes with a better opinion or stronger argument or more attractive logic. And Umar ibn Abdulaziz, rahimahullah, he said, فَمَنْ جَعَلَ دِينَهُ غَرَضًا لِلْخُصُومَاتِ أَكْثَرَ التَّنَقُّلِ. That he who subjects his religion to argumentation, he will frequently fluctuate. Yani he will change from one day to the next, from one religion to another. He who subjects his religion to disputation will frequently fluctuate, disputing with this person and that person, debating this person and that person. And the one who is victorious, yani the one who overcomes the other one in the argument, in the dispute, in the debate, is the one who will be followed. This was not the condition of the Salaf, yani the early generations of this Ummah. Rather, they were such that if there came to them a man of argumentation, a one who wants to debate, and they knew that his intent was debate, yani they knew that he wasn't coming to just ask a question for enlightenment or for guidance, rather he came with the intent of debating them. If they knew this, they would say to him, نَحْنُ عَلَى بَيِّنَ مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. We are upon clarity in our affair, in our matter, in our deen. وَأَمَّا أَنْتَ فَرَجُلٌ شَاقٌ. As far as you are a man who is in doubt. فَذْهَبْ إِلَى رَجُلٍ شَاكٍ مِثْلِكٍ. So go to another man who is in doubt like you. And we don't have time for this. We are not in doubt. You are in doubt, find somebody who is stupid like you and go and debate with him. The Muslim who is upon clarity in his affair and has conclusive arguments and proofs and evidences from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He does not debate with anyone. He does not debate with anyone such that the truth should be with the one who wins and is victorious in the debate. Yani he does not debate and put himself in the position that if he is overcome, because the person might be better at arguing or more convincing in his speech. So the one who wins, then the people then believe that the one who won the argument, that he's upon the truth. So a Muslim who has proof and evidence and guidance and is upon the straight path doesn't subject the truth to argumentation such that if he's overcome, the people would think that the one who overcame him is upon right guidance. And this is something that happened to a group of brothers many years ago in Washington, D.C., who were then the flag bearers, or at least they had placed themselves as the leaders of Dawah Salafiyah in America. And they had a big debate in a public forum in Washington, D.C. with the leader of the Shiites in Washington. And he defeated them. They put themselves up as the representatives of the Sunnah to show that the Sunnah was correct and that the Shiites were wrong, and they were defeated in the debate. Even though they were upon the truth, but the man who they were debating with was a professional and he overcame them. So many people left thinking that maybe the Shiites are really right. And this is the danger of a person who is not qualified and equipped, putting himself in a position to represent the truth, in debating with somebody who may overcome him in debate, even though they are upon falsehood. So the people of Sunnah, especially the common people, avoid at all costs debating and subjecting the truth to be with, yani leaving it such that the truth would be considered to be with the one who overcomes in debate. And this is because there's nothing after the truth except misguidance. Yani if you are upon the truth, then there's no need to debate, because there's nothing after the truth except dalal. So since he has evidence about what he is upon, and he is certain and he is sure from evidence and proof that he is upon the truth, there's no need to debate. Whoever has evidence, conclusive argument, and proofs from the book and the sunnah, then it is la yajuz. It is not permissible for him to debate with anyone on the basis that the proof or the hujjah is with the one who wins the debate. Yani that the truth is with whoever wins the debate, no matter even if they are upon pure falsehood. It is not permissible to debate with anyone in this situation, but rather let him cling to the book and the sunnah, and stand upon the book and the sunnah, and let him not subject his religion to corruption or to the desires of the people of innovations, unless he is from the well-grounded scholars who are firm in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these, the scholars, have room to debate with the people of innovation, to establish the evidence and proof against them, and to clarify the deviation of their beliefs and its corruption. Yani the deviation of their beliefs and the corruption of their beliefs and the falsehood of what they are upon. Yani here the Shaykh, he's saying that the general rule is that the people of Sunnah, if they know that they are upon the truth and they have evidence and proof from the Quran and Sunnah for what they are upon, then it's not permissible to debate and subject the truth to debating and argumentation. Unless they are from the well-grounded scholars, there is room for them to debate with the people of innovation for the purpose of what? Iqamat al-hujjah, to establish the proof against them, to make it known to them that they are upon deviation, to show them that they are upon deviation, and to clarify for them their deviation and the corruption of their beliefs and the falsehood of that which they are upon. And this is like what we found in the time of Sahaba, when Abdullah ibn Abbas debated with the Khawarij and proved to them the falsehood of what they are upon, and clarified for them the deviation that they were professing, and showed them, yani by proof and clear evidence, established the hujjah against them, so they would not be able to say, we didn't know that we were in error. But this is the role of the scholars who are well-grounded in knowledge, ar-rasikhuna. Yani not even just ordinary scholars, but those scholars who are the major scholars, who are equipped and qualified to clarify the truth from falsehood and to establish the proof against the people of deviation without any doubt being left. So that those who are sincere in their misguidance, they will see the error and they will come back to the truth. As far as the ordinary people, then this debating is not from the way of the people of Sunnah. After this, the Shaykh says, knowledge, yani ilm, knowledge of the book and Sunnah, and cognizance, yani being aware and knowing well the book and the Sunnah, as well as relying upon the book and the Sunnah, is from the greatest paths to solve the issue of splitting. When you look at these various groups, you find that each of them claims that he is upon the book and the sunnah. Yani every group of deviants claim that they are upon the book and the sunnah. Yani you don't find anybody out there, except maybe the Shiites, except they are saying, we follow the Quran and sunnah. Even some of them today, from the people who are astray, even say we follow the way of the Salaf. Today, now that the Dawah Salafiyya became so strong and popular and widespread amongst the people, that some of the deviants even claim to identify with the Salaf. They say we follow the Salaf. And these people are clearly on deviation. But today even some of them claim this. No doubt, all of them claim they follow the Quran and Sunnah, with the exception of the extremist Shiites. Even the Sufis claim they follow the Quran and Sunnah. Claim, as the Shaykh says, when you look at these various groups, you find that each of them claims that he is upon the book and the sunnah. It is as the poet said, وَكُلٌّ يَدَّعِي وَسْلًا بِلَيْلَ وَلَيْلَ لَا تُقِرُّ لَهُمْ بِذَاكَ, that everyone claims an attachment to Layla, but Layla does not affirm that for any one of them. Meaning, I don't know who is the famous yani women in the entertainment world today, but all of the people in the street claim that they love her, but she doesn't affirm that for any of them. All of them claim that they are upon the truth. There is none from the people of desires who says we are upon falsehood, we are upon misguidance. None of them say this. Rather, they all claim that they are the people of truth and the people of correctness. Therefore, the due consideration is not given to the claims if one does not stand upon it with clarity. Claims do not move forward, do not move one forward, nor hold him back, if there is no proof for them. Yani, a mere claim is not sufficient to take a person ahead, nor to move them back, unless the claim that they are making has some proof, and the proof is al-amal, yani action, wat-tatbiq, and implementation, as well as al-qiyam, yani fulfilling that which is required by the book and the sunnah. Yani everyone can claim that they are upon the book and the sunnah, but their claim has no weight unless they have action, unless they show that they are implementing and fulfilling that which is required by the book and the sunnah. There is none from the people of the book and the sunnah, there is no one from the people of the book and the sunnah who would give his intellect precedence or preference over the Quran and sunnah. So these people, even though they claim that they are upon the book and the sunnah, we see that what they are following is not from the book and the sunnah. The way that they are worshipping is not based upon the book and the sunnah. Their views and their opinions are not from the book and the sunnah. So the people who are really upon the book and the sunnah are those who would never give precedence to their intellect or their desires or their inclinations over that which came in the book and the sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, 49th surah, and the first ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O you who believe, do not put yourselves forward before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and fear Allah. Yani observe taqwa of Allah. O you who believe, yani the people who have iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the people of iman. Because it is only iman that will enable a person to comply with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His prohibitions. La tuqaddimu, do not put yourself forward, yani go ahead of Allah and His Messenger, but rather observe taqwa of Allah. Regarding the meaning of this verse, Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy upon him, he said, La ta'ajalu bi qawlin wa la fi'lin qabla an yaqula Rasulullah aw yaf'al. Yani, the meaning of this statement, do not put yourselves forward before Allah and His Messenger, it means do not be hasty in making a statement, nor in doing any action before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken or before he has acted. Yani, do not be hasty in speaking before knowing what has the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the matter. Do not be hasty in acting before knowing what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done concerning this matter. What is his action? How beautiful is this statement? This is the meaning. Yani, what Ibn al-Qayyim says here, do not be hasty in speaking nor in acting until you know what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said and what he has done. He said this is the meaning of not putting oneself forward before Allah and His Messenger. Meaning, do not believe in any aqidah nor practice any worship in the deen except that which has come within the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, don't say anything about Islam until you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said about it. Don't do anything until you know what is established in the sunnah. Don't believe anything until you know what is the aqidah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning that. So one should not come with any act of worship nor any act of obedience with which he seeks nearness to Allah. Yani, any deed that you are doing hoping that it will bring you near to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, unless there is Yani don't do any such act or any worship for which there is no evidence from the book and the sunnah. Yani don't do anything or say anything or believe anything until you know that there is proof for it in the Quran and the sunnah. The statement, do not be hasty in speech. Yani la ta'ajal. لا تعجل بقول. Don't be hasty in saying something, yani until you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said. This is connected. The Shaykh said this is connected to the i'tiqadat, yani to what you believe. Don't speak about the Islamic beliefs until you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he held as his belief. And do not do any action, yani until you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have done, how he has acted. This is connected to the ibadat, yani the worship. Yani don't speak is related to beliefs, aqidah. Don't say anything until you know what is the aqidah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and don't do any action, yani any act of worship, until you know how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed this worship. So the one who brings i'tiqadat, beliefs, for which there is no evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is putting himself forward before Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is deeming something to be good by way of his intellect. Yani he is considering something good because his intellect has told him that. So he takes some things or some creed, yani aqidah or some ibadat, acts of worship, based upon his intellect, yani without any evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, and thus spreading them amongst the Muslims. So when he spreads these ideas or these beliefs or these acts of worships amongst the Muslims, he separates their rank and tears apart their word by way of these desires, this hawa which he has spread amongst the people. And due to this, and we will stop here, due to this, the fact that some people put themselves forward before Allah and His Messenger, they hold some belief, or they practice some action, or do some worship, without knowing whether or not it has any basis in the Quran and Sunnah. And then they spread it amongst the people. And we see today so many things being spread amongst the people. And if you ask the people where they got it from, they say, that's what our Shaykh said, or that's what the Imam said, or that's what I heard in the khutbah, or that's what I saw the people doing. So many people are praying the way they saw the people praying, and they didn't have any clue whatsoever that there's any proof of this in the Quran and Sunnah. Rather, they're doing what the people did. They are acting upon what they heard in the khutbah, or in the lecture, or in the class, or wherever they heard from someone, and they are just following it without any proof or evidence for what they believe, or what they do, or what they say. Due to this, Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah said in a magnificent statement, and we will close with this statement, warning against this category of people. He said, من قال في الدين بدعة حسنة. Yani whoever says that in this deen there is such a thing as a good bid'ah, whoever says this, فَقَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا خَانَ الرِّسَالَةِ. That whoever says there is in this deen such a thing as good bid'ah, then this person has claimed that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has betrayed the message that he was sent with, the risalah that Allah sent him with. Whoever says that there is such a thing as good bid'ah, yani there is something that is bid'ah, it's innovation in the religion, but it's good, whoever says this, then they are claiming that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has betrayed the message that he was sent with. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 3rd Ayat, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Yani, this day I have perfected your deen for you. And Allah said He has perfected the deen. It's complete and perfect. And therefore, there's no room to add anything to it. So if anybody innovates something, then the deen has already been perfected. If they say there's room to add something to it, that means that the Prophet ﷺ has not delivered that which Allah revealed to him. He has left something out. And therefore there's room for us to bring some good innovation. So the Imam Malik is saying here, then whoever claims that there's such a thing as good innovation, they're claiming that the deen has not been perfected. And Allah clearly states He has perfected the deen. So how has something been left out? That means they're accusing the Prophet ﷺ of leaving out something that Allah revealed to him of the perfection of this deen. And now they have come with it to perfect the deen. So this is a clear accusation against the Prophet ﷺ in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atamamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islama deena. This day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. Yani raditu lakum al-islam deena. Raditu, Allah is saying, raditu, I am pleased with Islam as your deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with this Islam that He has revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that He has completed and perfected. So there is no need for anybody to bring anything else. If Allah is pleased with this as it is, then who has the right then to be pleased with something other than that? So Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he then went on to say, فَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ دِينًا فِي زَمَنِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَصْحَابِهِ فَلَيْسَ الْيَوْمَ دِينًا. That which was not deen during the era of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ashab and his companions, whatever was not deen during the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, فَلَيْسَ الْيَوْمَ دِينًا, then it is not deen today. The latter part of this ummah will not be rectified except by that which rectified its first part. وَلَيْ يَصْلُحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, يعني the end of this ummah will never lay, len, it will never be rectified. إِلَّا بِمَا صَلُحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهَا, except by that which rectified, by that which its first part was rectified with. Yani that which corrected, improved, reformed, yani made good the early part of this ummah, and that is the Quran and Sunnah. That is the only thing that will rectify the last part of this ummah. And we'll stop here inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And after this, yani refutation against the intellectuals of this ummah who give preference to their intellects over the Quran and Sunnah, the Shaykh, in what we read tomorrow, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, offers the remaining solutions that are contained in these ayats, that is the third and fourth solution, and the fifth and sixth solution that are contained in these ayats. If anybody has any question or any comment, now. No. Akmaltu lakum. Yani Allah is saying, akmaltu, I have completed, lakum, for you. Naam. This ayat is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, third ayat. And it's not the beginning of the ayat, but it's the end of the ayat. Naam. He said, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islama deenan. Raditu lakum al-islam deenan. That I am pleased with Islam as your deen. It's the same ayah. Naam. It's a long ayah, but it has some other points in the ayah the Shaykh mentioned. Yani that which, the part of the ayah that Imam Malik mentioned here, which is relevant to the point that he's making. Now, and this ayah is the ayah that we should memorize. If not in Arabic, at least the meaning in English. Important ayah. Important. Because it's a foundation of the Dawah Salafiyah, that this deen has been completed. So there's no room for people to bring anything new. It's important for us to at least memorize the meaning of this ayah. If not, memorize these three sentences that's from this ayah, even in Arabic, if it's possible. Naam. No. Well, he said those who are qualified to debate.
Exactly.
Now,
my question is, you said that very few people are qualified to give da'wah properly, and you're saying now that even fewer people are qualified to debate with you. So if someone comes and wants to inquire about Islam, you inform them about what you know based on facts, and they try to, challenge your thesis. How do you avoid debating with
these things? You should tell them, as we read from the Shaykh here, that we are upon bayina. We are upon that which is clear. We know what we are upon. If you are in doubt, and you have come to us, we are informing you of the truth. If you have a problem with what we're bringing to you, then we are not ready to debate. We are not willing. We have no need to debate because we know what we are upon. Like, you are the one who's uncertain. We are certain about what we are upon. So we don't need to debate. And rather, we should inform that person that this is the truth, and we hope that you will accept it. If you don't want to accept it, but you just want to argue, I mean, if the person is arguing for the sake of arguing, then we shouldn't waste our time with them. If they're asking a legitimate question that they're confused about, then we should either answer the question if we have the answer, as an answer, not as a debate, but rather answer their question. Or we should refer them, yani, to who can answer their question, or bring back to them the answer from those who may know. But as far as going back and forth in a debate, we shouldn't engage in debate. If the person is saying, I don't really understand what you're saying, then you can clarify it for them. If they're saying, like, how does that, you know, work? I mean, I don't see it, you know. Then you can discuss it with them. But as far as they have a point and you have a point and you're going to go back and forth, no, we're not going to do that. But the bottom line is that the person has come to us. They have been brought to us to be guided. So we try to guide them, but we're not going to debate with them. Now, So we hope that, that when people come for the sake of da'wah, then we would limit ourselves in our da'wah to that which we know. Because the problem that we find today is many people who are not qualified to explain Islam, they just make it up as they go along. You can go on the internet all day and night and find people claiming to be given da'wah, and what they're calling to is other than Islam. They're calling to that which they made up themselves in their own imagination, or the visions or dreams that they had, or that which their intellect has directed them to. They're calling people to this, which they made up, that's not based in the Quran and Sunnah. And these people are dangerous. They are more dangerous to Islam than enemies from outside.
Even a person who is on the hop, if they're limited knowledge, they may even hit a brick wall.
Even a person who is upon the Sunnah, but doesn't have proper knowledge of the Sunnah, may cause more damage to the deen due to their lack of knowledge, or their defective knowledge, so that they might say something or call the people to something that is not correct. So that's why we're saying everybody can give da'wah, but the person has to know their limits. They have to call to that which they know. The ayah in the Quran that they know, they have read the tafsir of it, they have had discussion with somebody who understands it well, and they're sure about their understanding, call people to that. If they know a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and they understand its meaning properly, and then they can call people to that. But don't go beyond that which you know. And that's really the problem, that people, they just branch out into the wide open field, and then they get lost out there.
People like Abu Dhabi, even though he probably did well, but that was not...
Well, Ahmed did that himself. I mean, we witnessed him. Probably the first time he came to New York, he was invited by Masjid al-Taqwa. First time he came to New York. And he himself said, that he doesn't have knowledge of Islam. He has knowledge of Christianity. So people should not ask him about Islam. So if a person doesn't have knowledge of Islam, so what is he calling to? What could he be calling to? If by his own statement, he doesn't have knowledge. So what is he calling people to? First of all, he doesn't have knowledge of Islam. And second of all, his whole program is debating. That's his program. And this is not the way of the people of Sunnah, debating. Okay, and the truth of the matter is, akhi, and Allah knows best, but the truth of the matter is, from what we have seen, that this, yani, this method of debating usually doesn't convince people to change their religion. Rather, it angers people. People become angry and they become upset because they don't want to be defeated in debate. So instead of them accepting Islam, they search harder to find some way to refute Islam. And we don't find a lot of people accepting Islam through this method. Even though, yes, some people might, that's true, it's possible. But overall, the people that you're debating with, when you get finished debating them, we hardly find a whole congregation of people. He's debating with 10,000 people in the stadium, and we didn't find 10 of them accepting Islam. Rather, they remained on their Christianity, their leader and the followers, and they went away mad if he defeated them, that's all. So what's the benefit? You know, you made the Muslims feel good that, you know, that we've won. But even you who have won and your followers who are following you, you are not upon the Sunnah. So what are you happy about? Even you yourself need to be guided. Somebody need to guide you. Because he definitely wasn't upon the Sunnah. That's a fact. We know that. And that's not, you know, criticism just for the sake of criticism. But he was a person who wasn't upon the Sunnah. At all, in no way whatsoever. Not in his practices, not in his worship, definitely not in his aqidah. Definitely not in his aqidah. So, I mean, you know, these people, this is an example of a person who's unqualified, who's ill-equipped to be calling to Islam, who have put themselves out there, and they cause more harm than the benefit that they give. Allah knows best. We ask that Allah forgive all of our shortcomings and our defects, and that He protect us from following our desires, and that we, you know, follow our ignorance instead of yani trying to know, to have knowledge, proper knowledge, so that we can follow the correct path. May Allah protect us from our ignorance and our shortcomings in following our desires. Tayyib. So we'll stop here. It's time for salat, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.